The Ottumwa River is not one of Georgia's more popular natural landmarks. It's not a destination like Stone Mountain or Lake Lanier, but this little-known water source, it's not little at all in physicality, but it's huge. However, little-known plays a vital role for several species of shorebirds during their annual migration. One of those birds is the red knot. These tiny birds travel more than 19,000 miles during migration, and they use Georgia's coast as a safe haven along the way. Author Deborah Kramer chronicled the red knot's journey in her latest book. It's called The Narrow Edge, and she joins us now to talk about her work. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Celeste.
And I saw that you also won the 2016 Reed Environmental Writing Award from the Southern Environmental Law Center, so congratulations on that.
Well, thank you very much. It was quite an honor.
So I wanted to ask you about this narrow edge. The name of the book is Narrow Edge. What edge are you referring to?
I'm referring to that liminal porous place at the edge of the sea where the tide comes in and out. It's neither land nor water, or I guess you'd say it's both, and it's constantly changing.
And it also feels, certainly by the time you get to the end of the book, that the narrow edge is also our almost a window of opportunity that we have at this moment to either act on climate change or not. Did you sense that narrow edge as you were writing?
Well, yes, it is. It's an incredible opportunity for us, actually, because the water is rising and there is lots of wildlife living along the edge of the sea, but so are we. And in protecting their homes, we'll also be protecting ourselves.
Well, let's go to this tiny bird. The subtitle of your book is A Tiny Bird, An Ancient Crab, and an Epic Journey. And the tiny bird that you're talking about is the red knot. Let's first hear from the red knot. Here's the sound of one. What makes this bird special?
Well, to me, this bird is really special because it weighs no more than a coffee mug, and yet something that small manages to fly 19,000 miles every year from the very bottom of South America all the way up to the Arctic Circle and back.
And again, you said the very bottom of South America. I want people to picture that in their minds because this journey is unbelievable when you look at it on the map. They start, many of them start in Tierra del Fuego, right? The very southern tip of South America, and travel up through Canada to the Arctic where they breed. Is that right?
That's right. And the place on Tierra del Fuego is a really remote beach. It's just mile after mile of unbroken sand along the Strait of Magellan. And the tides are treacherous there, and the winds are treacherous there. They're often blowing at hurricane strength, and the birds are there for 4 or 5 months.
But the reason that I'm talking to you, and I assume the reason that you'll be speaking at the Atlanta Audubon Bird Festival this weekend, is because of the very important stop that they make in Georgia at the Ottumwa River. And that's where they encounter the horseshoe crab, which is the ancient crab of your title. Why is the horseshoe crab so important?
The horseshoe crab is so important to the red knot because its tiny pin-sized eggs constitute the fuel that'll take this bird all the way up to the Arctic. So a red knot needs to eat about 400,000 of those horseshoe crab eggs in order to gain enough weight to make the flight all the way up to the tundra and then have a few resources left over in case the snow hasn't started to melt and there's nothing to eat.
Is Georgia a kind of halfway point?
Georgia is a really important stop on this. I would say it's probably a little more than halfway, but for many of these birds, it's the last stop before they go up to the Arctic. So it's really important that they get enough food in Georgia. It's also true that the Ottumwa River is a very important stop for them coming south as well.
So then what happens, and I'm not the expert, you are, so please correct me.
Not necessarily.
But I understand that part of the reason climate change is affecting these birds so much, and there's a Tufts University study that showed that almost 90% of North American shorebirds are at increased risk now. But one of the things is that when these eggs that you're talking about, they can hatch too early because of the warm temperature. Is that part of what affects the red knot?
Well, they can. One of the things that the Fish and Wildlife Service is concerned about is that as the water warms, the horseshoe crabs might come into spawn earlier, and the eggs might be there, and the birds might not have arrived. So they are concerned that that is a problem. What is interesting to me about that, though, is that these birds have an uncanny ability to find food within hours of its becoming available. So horseshoe crabs have just started spawning in big numbers in Georgia, and the birds will just miraculously appear on the beach where they've been spawning. So the last time I was on Little St. Simons, for example, there hadn't been any red knots seen yet. There hadn't been any horseshoe crabs. And then at night, the horseshoe crabs came in. And then the next morning, I went down to this inlet that I'd been going to every morning, and there were 1,000 red knots there eating the horseshoe crabs.
And Little St. Simons Island, for those who don't recognize it, is a little island. It's mostly an eco resort here in Georgia. So I read another naturalist and author, Joel Greenberg, said perhaps the red knot should replace the canary in the mine as the harbinger of impending changes that are good neither for birds or people. I wonder what you make of that, this idea that the red knot could be our canary in the mine.
Well, he did say that about the narrow edge, and I think I would tend to agree with him, because the story of the red knot is really the story of 50 million other shorebirds coming through North America, many of which aren't quite as well known, maybe, as the red knot, although I'm discovering a lot of people don't know about the red knot either. But
or know when they're looking at one.
Right. Well, it's hard to recognize. It was even hard for me to recognize when I first started. But then once you get to see it, it's a beautiful, beautiful bird. And so I would agree with him. There are lots of other shorebirds that eat horseshoe crab eggs. There are lots of other shorebirds that live at the edge of the sea where the water is rising. And there are lots of other shorebirds that are nesting up in the Arctic, a place which is changing rapidly.
So we got this tweet from the Georgia Ornithological Society, the GOS president, and they say an easy way to help shorebirds is stop flushing them on the beach, walk around them. They need the rest. And I mean, you followed this bird all over the place. Did you see people disturbing birds as they rested on the beach?
Well, I think almost everybody does that, and they don't realize what they're doing. And even I was guilty of that. I used to walk along the beach up in Massachusetts where I lived, and I would walk along the beach, and I would love approaching a group of birds and then watching them lift up into the sky. I think actually lots of people do that, and it had never occurred to me, and I don't mean to sound stupid about this, but it had never occurred to me as I watched these beautiful flocks of birds rising and falling with the waves that was actually taking energy from them that they needed to make these long distance flights. So I would agree with the Georgia Ornithological Society that when you're walking on a beach, if you see a flock of birds at the edge of the water, it'd be great to take a detour around them.
And keep your dog away from them, too, because my dog will disturb them just for the fun of it. So, I mean, again, do you have any idea how many miles you actually traversed while you were following this bird for this book?
Well, that was another thing. The birds go from this round trip from the bottom of South America up to the Arctic and back, and that's about 19,000 miles. And I went from the bottom of South America up to the Arctic and then back to my home in Massachusetts. And in order for me to do that, I logged in 44,000 miles. And then if you counted the translators who came with me, it was 66,000 miles just to follow this tiny bird.
I guess that's why they say as the crow flies, meaning a straight line. In this case, as the red knot flies. So what do you take away? I mean, your book describes, I mean, it sounds like you came away with a real love for this bird and a respect. But I wonder what you take away from the red knot as a harbinger of what may come and the narrow edge that we're sort of balancing on right now.
Well, I came away with a couple of things. I felt like we're facing some serious problems. But when I look at this bird and what it does to make this enormous trip under increasingly difficult circumstances, it's still making the trip. And I look at what the bird is able to do, and I think, you know, we can do what we need to do also to give the bird safe passage. And I've seen people along this entire flyway on really, really crowded beaches in Argentina. I've seen people in Georgia. I've seen people in Delaware Bay. I've seen people in the Arctic working really, really hard by doing some of the things that you've suggested, making it possible for the birds to rest freely on the beach, asking people to stay off the beaches when the birds are, for the few weeks the birds are there, suggesting that there be not so much development right along the edge of the shore, regulating the take of horseshoe crabs so that the birds will have enough eggs to eat. All those things can really help bring this bird back from the edge of extinction. And the population has now been stabilized, and I think that it will be possible to do the rest of what we need to do. I think of this migration, actually, as a ladder going up to the Arctic, where now every rung is necessary, and some of the rungs are broken. Yeah. But if we fix them rung by rung, they'll be able to make the flights.
That's Deborah Kramer, author of The Narrow Edge. She'll be a featured speaker at the Atlanta Audubon Bird Festival this Sunday. You can get more information at gpbnews.org. Deborah, thank you.
It's my pleasure.